Unforgiveness is another one of those scenarios and experiences in life that we can get trapped in. And it prevents us from living in the perfect life that God has us designed to live in, with unity with Him and relationship with Him. We get, you know, confused, we get angry, we get hostile, and there's plenty of emotions that we experience from in that state of being in that unforgiveness. We experience hurt and rejection, betrayal, humiliation, shame, senses of unworthiness, contempt, even insecurity, anger, growing sense of injustice. But we know now, we've talked about emotions enough times, a prolonged emotional states of being result in being in a mood. How many of you have ever been in a mood that you're just like, I just don't know why I feel like this. I'm grumpy, I'm angry, I'm hostile, I'm sad. And it's a state of being that you've been experiencing for a couple days. Maybe usually it's only a couple days, maybe it's only a day if you're able to kick the mood to the curb in some sense. But then over a couple weeks or a period of days, 2 weeks, it becomes a temperament where everything you look at and everything you do is looking through that same lens of hostility or anger or frustration or sadness, and those stored emotions become trapped in our body, and our body becomes our mind, and we become addicted to these cycle of emotions that are and these chemical addictive states of neurological chemicals that are being forced into our bloodstream in response to our thoughts and emotions. And then over weeks to months and even years sometimes, when we feel stuck and trapped in these scenarios or these states of being, those prolonged states of being contribute to the development of a personality trait. And I think every one of us can look at someone in our life, maybe that crazy Aunt Edie, you know, why was she always so anxious? I couldn't be around her for more than 5 minutes because I felt anxious, you know, and she was always like, I never knew her to be happy, never knew her to be whatever it might be. Maybe you recognize someone like that in your life where their personality trait was trapped in anxiety, trapped in depression, trapped in regrets and past experiences that are negative and negative emotions. We often end up living trapped in our lives by many emotions, as we've learned over the last few weeks. And these emotions, these entrapments, create a perpetual cycle of automatic thoughts, behaviors, and actions and emotions that continue to keep us trapped into that past circumstance rather than thriving in the forward movement into your destiny and your God-given future. When we experience being trapped in unforgiveness, and I know I've experienced unforgiveness in my own life, where I've had to find a way to get out of that cage of unforgiveness, that glass box almost, it seems like a mime, you know, it's somewhere here, but I can't see it, I can't get out, I don't even know where it's coming from. But we often respond in unforgiveness with selfishness. We often become very egocentric, because it's a protection mechanism that we had, prideful, hypervigilant sometimes, resentful, bitter, hostile, and vengeful. If you've ever experienced these feelings, they're toxic feelings in some ways. It feels like I can't shake this, but yet it makes me feel sick. My stomach is upset. I can't get rid of this headache. My heart rate is through the roof. I can't sleep at night. We live in this hyper state of arousal. We isolate. We hold people at a safe distance. We disassociate. We build walls to protect ourselves, but end up keeping everyone else at a safe distance as well. Even those we love, we isolate, we insulate, and even depreciate the intrinsic need for love and relationship and community in our lives in an effort to protect ourselves from being hurt. So the trap of unforgiveness is often when someone offends us, attacks us, hurts us, rejects us. We often will face the choices of, how do I want to respond in this situation? Sometimes we don't even have a choice, it feels like, and it's just automatic. If you've been trapped in that scenario for a while or in those emotions, you have those automatic responses because of those automatic thoughts and behaviors that are keeping you trapped in that cyclic behavior. How should I respond? What are my rights in this situation? Why would they say that? How should I respond? What do I got to do? What should I do? Often we want to respond in a way that justifies me, justifies my position, justifies my opinion, justifies my posture, my right. This is my right for justice, to correct things that have been done wrong against me. I've got to take this into my own hands, and I've got to correct this situation, or I'm going to imbalance it by doing a tit-for-tat kind of situation as well. And we get trapped in this unforgiveness, and often we don't realize what it's doing to us as well and how it's hurting us. Normal thoughts. These are normal thoughts. How do I want to respond? What's my right? How do I want to respond from what posture do I want to respond from? But these normal thoughts that often result in almost immediately in a firing of neurological responses and emotions. And soon enough, those emotions and thoughts trigger a behavior that reinforces thoughts and then again triggers more emotions and keeps us entrapped and entrenched in that behavioral response system. If you are like me too, I've been trapped in unforgiveness, like I mentioned, by something that was done to me, things that were said to me, things that weren't said even, things that were not done the way I thought or expected they should have done or been done. That caused me to live in this perpetual cycle, in this perpetual state of unforgiveness. And over time, you just realize, I don't know why I resent that situation. I'm not exactly sure what it was that actually happened, but I just feel like I resent it, that I have contempt towards it. And Jesus, where are you at in this? Can you help me? And it's often because I haven't walked through that state of forgiveness, that being in forgiveness. And it's one of the hardest things to walk through is forgiving somebody or something or a situation or even God sometimes for what's happened in your life or what someone said to you, what someone did to you or acted towards you. And every one of you can relate in some way of experiencing some form of unforgiveness in life. And so I adapt. I adapt to this poison that seeps into every corner of my life, and that mood becomes a temperament. And God forbid, but sometimes that temperament becomes a personality trait. But God has an answer and a solution to all of these situations. And we're going to get there. We often desire recompense or repayment. A judgment that would satisfy my bruised ego or my hurt or my rejection. Deep-seated hurts. A desire to see justice and payment for that hurt, that shame, and that rejection that I experienced. And every one of us wrestles with those desires. That person owes me something here. And it's challenging to walk through those and to process those. An offense, here's what an offense is. An offense is something we consider to be a violation of what we think is right and fair. And the enemy of this world, the enemy of the darkness, the enemy of even heaven and earth, will use offenses to hold us captive and keep us from moving forward, keep us from thriving, keep us from living in that peace and the joy and the hope that we can have in Christ Jesus, preventing us from living in a manner where we can live and experience joy, experience the fullness of joy, a comfort and a peace that we don't even understand where it comes from. It's not something I even trigger on my own. But it's God working in me and processing in behind the scenes instead of allowing that bitterness to set in, seep deeply into every crack and crevice in my life. I say, God, I need you. I need your hope, your joy, your love, your peace. A life of abundance rather than a life of worry, fear, anxiety, and depression and unforgiveness. See, when we reflect on the accounts of Jesus, we notice that Jesus himself also suffered many similar offenses. If you've ever read through the scriptures, the Bible, we call it in some ways, it's a gathering of a collection of books that men have and women wrote when the Holy Spirit inspired them to write. And now we've collected into a nice little book or into an iPhone nowadays, and we call it the Bible. And we read from this scripture for inspiration and guidance and for help, for assistance. But when we read about the stories of Jesus in the Gospels, we see that he was offended many times. Maybe he didn't hold it as offense, but people who did things against Jesus to hurt him, to kill him. Even though Jesus was fully God and fully man, he allowed himself to be tempted in every way that we are today. Because he wanted us to know that no matter what we face, no matter what situation we are going through, every thought, every feeling, and every emotion that we experience, he has been there. He has experienced the same things that you and I have experienced. And at the same time, he also overcame those same things that you and I are going to walk through. Let me look at a few. When we are betrayed, maybe by a best friend who lied about us, a spouse who cheated on us, who didn't stay forever, a confidant who broke our trust, someone that you shared your deepest secret with and they went and shared it with the neighbor or the world in some cases. Betrayed, falsely accused, misunderstood, lied about, the subject of gossip and or slander. Rejection, rejected by a spouse, by a friend, by a boss, a trusted person in authority. Abused emotionally, physically, verbally, sexually. Abuse. Humiliated. Haunted by that embarrassing moment and haunted by that embarrassing season of life that you went through. Ashamed and disgraced. See, remember, Jesus was also betrayed. He was betrayed by Judas, a trusted friend, one of his disciples, one of his followers. Falsely accused. Jesus himself was falsely accused, wrongly indicted in several courts, the Judaic courts as well as the Roman courts. Rejected by Peter, one of his closest followers, one of his friends. A companion. Abused. He was beaten. He was tortured. He was cursed. And then he was nailed to a cross. Beaten, abused, humiliated, haunted, crucified he was, disgraced in a public setting, stripped of his clothes, and beat and made to walk up a hill carrying his own cross. Hey, Jesus has experienced a lot of these similar things that you and I wrestle with and try to understand, and our worldview, we can't really get to the bottom of it sometimes. But Jesus himself has been betrayed, falsely accused, rejected, abused, and humiliated. I want to read a scripture out of Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17 we're going to have on the screen. I chose to read this one from the Passion Translation today. I usually use the English Standard Version, but I want to read it from the Passion Translation. Here we are, verse 17. Do we have it there? Yeah, this is why he had to be a man and take hold of our humanity in every way. This is why Jesus came and had to be a man, so he could experience humanity. He made us his brothers and sisters and became our merciful and faithful king priest before God, as the one who removed our sins to make us one with him. He suffered and endured every test, every temptation. Why? So that he can help us in every time that we pass through the ordeals of life, even Jesus himself. It was significantly important for Jesus to experience all of the offenses in the human body, in the state, in the being of humanity, so that he could really understand every struggle, even though God created us. But that's so he could understand every struggle that we encounter. And also that he could show us that there's a perfect way out of it. How to respond when we suffer at the hands of others. We're not going to get into all of those things today, but there's a lot of lessons that Jesus speaks into that are contrary to what our society would teach us. They're counterintuitive to what our culture says would be acceptable. When someone asks for your coat, give it to them. Give them another one. Give them your shirt too. When someone slaps you, turn your cheek and let them slap your other cheek. It's just counterintuitive to culture. Why would we do that? But it's being in that state of forgiveness and being generous with forgiveness, giving it away. Why? Because I don't feel like I'm owed anything. God's already paid for everything. And I get to live in that freedom of not expecting to hold judgment over someone else, because judgment comes with a heavy weight of responsibility. at the death of Jesus, Jesus asked the Father, after all that he went through, he asked the Father to forgive. Forgive the very ones who have cursed me, him, who have beaten him, who have crucified him, who are about to put him to death. Forgive them, Father, for they don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. And offenses will undoubtedly come in your life. You will face offenses in your life, and most of you have already faced many offenses in life, many things, many attacks, many challenges where you have a decision, do I want to forgive or do I want to hold on to this, this right to judge, this right for repayment? But we can't arm ourselves with the same thinking of Jesus. Help me, Jesus, to see others through the same lens that you see them through. Let my eyes be renewed and restored through your Holy Spirit, Father, that I may walk in that forgiveness rather than holding that right per se, but letting it go and feeling the release from that responsibility. Now that we have access to the same Spirit of Christ, when he resurrected by the power of the Holy Spirit that resurrected Christ from the grave, he came and dwelt among many for 40 days before he ascended into heaven. But that same Spirit he now pours out into our lives through faith. And he, Jesus, comes and lives within us and gives us power. And we too are made alive and able to live in perfect harmony with one another and with Christ. We too can walk in the freedom of allowing him the full responsibility of forgiveness. That I don't technically need the payback as much as I feel like I'm owed it or I deserve it. Jesus paid for all the sins of this world, all the wrongdoings, all the hateful acts, all the behaviors of criminal activity, all the behaviors of injustice, the deceits, the lies, everything that hurts us. God has already forgiven that person just as much as he's forgiven me. I don't have to be. When I was thinking about this, I thought about the mafia guy that goes around and collects payment. And sometimes if you ever watched any kind of mafia movies, they're a little bit violent, just a tad bit. And they break in people's legs or something because they didn't give them their whatever payment they're looking for. I forget what the word's called, but protection payment. But we don't have to do that with Jesus. And he doesn't do that to us either. Hebrews, verse chapter 13. And 20. Now, may the God who brought us peace by raising from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, so that he would be the great shepherd of his flock, and by the power of the blood of the eternal covenant, may he work perfection to every part of you, giving you all that you need to fulfill your destiny. And may he express through you all that is excellent and pleasing to him through your life union with Jesus, the anointed one who is to receive all glory forever. Amen. This priestly blessing that we're talking about in this scripture that we find in the Torah in Numbers chapter 6 is actually where you find it. It says, the Lord bless you and keep you, and the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. But in this blessing, God is first recognized in his attributes. Peace. Power. This power that we talk about, which is the same power, brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead. And then loving care, this great shepherd. And then ever-giving love, the blood of the everlasting covenant. It doesn't go away, it never ceases, never ends, an everlasting life. The idea of the everlasting or eternal covenant has been taken to express the covenant that existed way before the foundations of the world. The Godhead working together for the salvation of man is what Ephesians tells us. Then the desire for blessing is expressed. Complete in every good work, God working in you and all through Jesus Christ, through faith. See, Jesus came to seal the deal and make way for humanity to walk in this everlasting and new covenant with him. restoring mankind back into relationship with God after the fall of the man in the garden, separated us from eternal communion with God. Now we have been purchased, we've been redeemed, we've been reconciled, that means restored back into relationship, all through faith in Christ. He, Jesus, paid for the sins of mankind, and through our belief in Christ and our faith in his perfect work of the cross, we too get to have eternal access to the same Father, our God and Creator, having access to peace, power, and life-giving love. You've heard this before. See, unforgiveness is like drinking the poison in anticipation of the one who hurt us, expecting that person to die. Or similarly, here's another one, setting ourselves on fire and expecting our enemy to die from smoke inhalation. That's what unforgiveness does to us. It hurts us. It stores in our body that anxiety and that fear and that those stress hormones. It starts to affect the way we think and the very view on life around us and the world around us. Our paradigm, our attitudes are shifting. Our temperament changes. Our personality traits change. But you don't have to. I can walk in the freedom of confidently knowing that I am forgiven first. And then what I do is when I know that I'm forgiven by God for all the things that I've done in my own life, then I too can respond with wanting the same world around me, all those friends, all those enemies it might feel like sometimes, and my neighbors and everybody, to know that they too have the same access to experience being forgiven and loved unconditionally. See, when we have conditional love, it's usually because of unforgiveness. But like God, he forgave unconditionally. He also loves unconditionally. So what do? I pour out my cup of poison. I pour out my resentment. I pour out myself, my need to feel repaid, my right in some ways to feel recompense or repayment. This bitter cup of self that never seems to satisfy. See, forgiveness is not, the act of forgiveness is not a feeling or an emotion, but forgiveness is a choice, an action. And when you make that choice to forgive and make that choice to let it go, that action to let it go and give it to God and say, God, you forgive. You're the greater forgiver than I could ever imagine. And you give it to him. All of a sudden, your burden, your sense of responsibility of having to carry that burden of judgment and requirement for repayment, all of a sudden you begin to feel at peace yourself because it's not your responsibility to carry that. We can give it to God and say, you truly have forgiven all of mankind, and I too can walk in that forgiveness because you forgave me. And I want to walk in the present moment here and now, not in my past mistakes, not in anxiety of my future. But right now in the present moment, I'm walking in forgiveness. So that means I can also give forgiveness away. Retraining our mind in forgiveness is the first step of beginning with me. When I truly begin to understand. See, the emotions follow your thoughts and memories are stored by emotions. When you retrain and reframe your thinking, not in a quasi-positive thinking kind of way, that feels disingenuous sometimes, like lying to myself. But we can retrain our mind in forgiveness by understanding that I truly am forgiven. When I know who I am in Christ, I am a child of God. I am forgiven for all the wrong things that I've done in my own life. God has forgiven me. Through faith, I believe that he has carried that. He has taken those sins and those wrongdoings and those dead works, those dark works away from me and made me new, a new creation. I am forgiven by God. He has forgiven me, and for free. He doesn't expect me to pay for it. He doesn't expect for me to prove it. Because of Jesus and his selfless act of exemplifying forgiveness, it isn't releasing the perpetrator from the responsibility, but it's for me to release myself. It's about me when it comes to forgiveness. It's about giving it away, releasing myself from taking that responsibility of justification, carrying this heavy weight. When I give the right to forgiveness back to God to do the perfect work, it continues that same perfect work in me. I get to live in a peace that transcends my problems, transcends my hurt, transcends my sense of expectation, and for justice. So, through practices that we can be intentional to engage in, we've talked about this many times, through prayers, through meditation, which is meditation is simply to be familiar with, so you don't have to do a specific pose if you don't want. It's just about sitting and being familiar with God, being quiet, quieting my mind so that I can hear God. The more I spend time with quieting my mind so I can hear, the more familiar I become with God speaking to me. So being familiar with reflection on Scripture, analysis of Scripture, and then putting it into practice, put it into praxis. Forming new habits, new practices, giving yourself the permission to walk in the greatest gift ever given to mankind, and it's forgiveness. So how can we live unoffended, free from being trapped by unforgiveness? It's not a complete list that I have for you here this morning, but just a couple simple ways to help you maybe this morning reflect on what it's like to live untrapped. Recognizing myself as imperfect, however, but justified. So I might not be perfect, but I'm justified by Christ. Christ has forgiven me, finding my forgiveness in him. Seeing ourselves as humans who make mistakes, who are not perfect, is a great place to start. Romans 3 and 23, verse 24 says, "For all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through redemption that is found in Christ Jesus." It's a free gift. So, but recognizing ourselves as imperfect, but justified for free. Secondly, accept this free gift of forgiveness and forgive ourselves. Confronting our negative thoughts and beliefs about ourselves sometimes is quite a challenge, isn't it? But don't live trapped by your past mistakes that are defining those thoughts. That's where regrets come from, our past. Leave the past behind. Let God carry that. Let God worry about the past. He's forgiven. He's healing. And I know it's challenging. That's not a simple fix. I understand. But when we live trapped by our past, the emotions that we keep triggering and the thoughts that keeps us trapped in that past. We don't want to be trapped there. We want to be in the present moment right now, understanding who we are in Christ, not worrying about tomorrow either, but forgiving ourselves. It's often our biggest obstacles, forgiving ourselves, forgiving our own past. Because a lot of people don't have a problem with forgiving others. I've seen this in my own life. But we often struggle with forgiving ourselves. So accept his free gift of forgiveness. Let Jesus forgive you for all that's happened, for all that's done, for all you've done. Let Jesus forgive those that have hurt you and have ashamed you and abused you and provoked you. Seeing yourself as God sees you is key. And you will see others differently. You will find yourself with open hands, releasing these offenses, and then receiving that abundant life in return. That enemy, that in the darkness, that darkness enemy, the devil, some will call the enemy, Satan, whatever name you want to put on it, it's a battlefield within our mind. Confront your self-thoughts, your self-talk, your negative self-talk and negative self-thoughts. And remind your soul that in Christ, I am forgiven. See, your soul is the handbasket for your mind, will, and emotions. Remind yourself that in Christ, I am forgiven. I am a child of God that has been adopted by a heavenly Father. I'm no longer an orphan. I'm no longer disenfranchised. I'm no longer separate from the Father who created me. But I am one in Christ through faith. A Father who loves me. And Jesus who has paved the way for me to live in that true and forever covenant of forgiveness. Here we go. Stop trying to earn forgiveness. Accept the free gift. Ephesians 2 and verse 8. I'm reading from the NIV this time. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Don't try to earn your forgiveness with God. It's a free gift. Accept it. Okay, God, thanks. accept the gift. Resist. Here's another one. Resist the lies of the enemy, or the lies of this world, lies that someone else might tell you about you, but defeat them with truth. See, our warfare is not against flesh and blood. It's not with swords and guns, but against the powers and principalities of darkness, the enemy. It's a spiritual warfare. But you're not alone in this fight. 1 Peter 5 says in verse 8, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him. Be firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. You're not alone in this. That's why we say don't do life alone. Do life with someone else. 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 are always stronger than one. Do life with somebody. Better yet, do life with someone that's got faith. Faith in Christ, because Christ is the solution to our world problems. Christ is the solution. Why? Because Christ is love. And love trumps everything. Love wins. Love is stronger. And love is not the opposite of hate, by the way. Last one. Receive the love of God, this free gift of life, and give it away. This gives us the capacity to love others when we understand how loved we are, how forgiven we are, when we understand that we're able to give away that same love. Often we struggle to love because we have struggled with fully understanding how loved we are by God, how forgiven we are. But 1 John, my last scripture, we're going to wrap up in just a second. Thank you for your patience this morning. 1 John chapter 4 and 9. It says, the light of God's love shined within us when he sent his matchless son into the world so that we might live through him. This is love. He loved us long before we loved him. It was his love, not ours. He proved it by sending his love to be the pleasing sacrificial offering to take away our sins. Delightfully loved ones, if he loved us with such a tremendous love, then loving one another should be our way of life. No one has ever gazed upon the fullness of God's splendor. But if we love one another, God makes his permanent home in us. And we make our permanent home in him. And his love is brought to its full expression in us. And he has given us his spirit within us so that we can have the assurance that he lives in us and that we live in him. Wow. Thanks, Jesus. So you don't have to live trapped in unforgiveness. You can surrender the right to justification of self. You can surrender the right to be repaid to God. Let him deal with it. Let him take care. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And if we give him that right back, he's already forgiven that person just as much as he's already forgiven us. And when we respond to his forgiveness, we feel such love and such a peace, a hope, a joy. That is Christ living in us. That's righteousness, peace, and joy. It means right standing, restored in relationship. Peace and joy found in the Holy Spirit that's poured out into our lives by us asking, Jesus, forgive me of my wrongdoings. I want to follow you. Come and live in me that I might experience you to the fullest. And that you might do that perfect work in me that we talk about and that we hear about, that I may be the full expression of love. Thanks, Jesus. Thanks, Jesus. Do you want to pray with me? Let's bow our heads for a second here. Jesus, thanks for forgiving me for every wrong thing that I've done towards someone else. Now start with me, Jesus. Forgive me for shortcutting myself and others of a loving and prosperous life. Thanks, Jesus, for forgiving me, even when I deserve to be punished for the wrong things that I've done. Yet you love me, and you forgave me. Thanks. Jesus, today I choose to place my trust and faith in you as Lord and Savior. Jesus, today I choose to accept your forgiveness, that I may understand what forgiveness is. I choose to forgive myself today, Jesus. I choose to follow your examples and allow our Father in heaven to do his perfect work in us through his Holy Spirit. I make a choice today to forgive as I get to walk in your forgiveness. Today, Jesus, I can live in peace, with power, and in love because of your forgiveness. Thanks, Jesus, and amen.